Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 everybody. This is Rosie and Clara from Ramsgate and a lovely place called Ash.
No, no.
What?
Nothing. It's a lovely place in the middle of nowhere.
It's a lovely place in the middle of nowhere. Okay. And so today we are doing the call in a rather different way. Because last week we had terrible problems with getting good reception where we had gathered together to do the show in a hotel in Deal. So today I have Rosie on the phone. So say hello, Rosie.
Good afternoon, good people of South East England and beyond. Actually, beyond. You know quite a few people in America, don't you?
I do know quite a few people in America and Australia and all over the place. G'day, mate, and New Zealand, and
I can't do that one.
No, so, and Canada, so, I mean, all sorts of places, and Mexico. I know places, people around the world, so good afternoon, everybody. Now, today is the first day of what is in the UK National Anti-Bullying Week, and...
Yes, a critical topic for both of us, which we really feel passionately about.
Yes, it's a very move. I must say, I hadn't been aware that it was National Bullying, Anti-Bullying Week until last Friday when on Radio 4, on the PM programme, there was this incredibly moving news item announcing the forthcoming Anti-Bullying Week with this mother, Lucy Alexander, whose son killed himself because of the bullying he had received at school. And so I posted on it on Facebook and immediately got an enormous amount of response. And when I was listening to the discussions that went through that news item on Friday, it suddenly dawned on me how endemic bullying is. So Rosie, can you tell us what Now, I know you're very keen on your definition, so you tell us what you've hunted out about bullying, please.
I'll do my usual Rosie research backup routine, and then you can we can do what we usually do in exploring it as a theme. When I did my research, and this is from across the internet, there are basically, ladies and gentlemen, up to about, probably more, six types of bullying that I have discovered. And they are the obvious ones, like physical, verbal, relational aggression bullying, which is body language and circumstance. The obvious one that we all experience from time to time, cyberbullying.
Oh, yeah.
There is sexual bullying specific to, it's going on in a terrible way with teenagers at the moment. And prejudicial bullying, which is religious or in relation to your belief or doctrine. The types of bullying usually are around power play, and they usually are repetitive, and they are probably usually intentional as opposed to not realizing you're doing it, unless, of course, it's entirely indoctrinated into your behavioral setup.
Yeah.
So that, broadly speaking, they're the types of bullying you might come across in your life, both from school level right through to your working environment.
And even your home life.
And even your home life.
Yeah.
And Lord above, if you get all three going on at the same time, you could find yourself in a very dangerous situation if you don't reach out for help.
Yes, I mean... I think the very interesting thing is that I would imagine that an awful lot of people who find themselves being bullied in adult life have experienced certainly poor, have had poor experiences, probably bullying, in their early childhood or their school years, which then often sets them up to question their own values so much that they almost, it's very strange, isn't it? It's almost as though a message goes out to the world that this is a vulnerable person. And so those who deal with their own vulnerability by taking out it on other people actually close in on the, you know, the, those that are vulnerable and not able, not comfortable really to stand their own ground.
And I think that's really critical, Clara, that you point that out. And that's why I think life almost can be divided into various categories. Obviously the childhood one,
yeah,
the teenage one, the young person, and as you move through your working life, is that unless in each of those critical phases, you must develop a deeper sense of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
To know who you are, to feel that sense of security and go and find some kind of inner strength to support yourself. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it is you are your own work in progress. So you're going to have to develop not only how you manage the world, but your self-perception, which of course is all the information you put out to the world. But as we were talking before, you very rightly said, and I'm right behind you with this, that it's really important to talk about not only if you've been bullied or the concept of experiencing bullying, but having done some bullying as well. So Clara and I are going to look at both sides of this, because we're not just, you know, demonising the concept of a bully. We are saying it's so easy to veer into these areas because of insecurity or inadequacy or not being connected to yourself, that this is actually all pervasive and almost part of a societal behavioural pattern.
Yeah. Well, I agree, and I think, Rosie, that's what when I was listening to this news item on Friday night on Radio 4's PM programme,
right,
that is exactly what I was, it seemed to me, because we are going to be talking about our own experiences of being bullied, either whether it's us personally, and it will be us, but also those that we have witnessed. But in listening to these two, so there was this mother and then this young man who had also been bullied, and what it appeared to me is that rather than actually amending those who do the bullying, it is the bullied who actually have to learn to deal with being bullied. And which to me then made me think that it is a social norm, and it's then supposed to be socially acceptable to be bullied. And I so heartily disagree with that. I'm sure you do too. That's why we're so passionate about sort of raising it and enabling people to have, the opportunity of hearing from other people's perspectives. So, Rosie, may I just ask, actually, I mean, are you happy to share some experience that you've had of being bullied?
I am. Just before we go into that, can I just say from an educational perspective here, we're just touching on the types of both the bullier and the bullied, that ultimately we are saying that the kinds of methods of trying to deal with this type of behaviour is that it's from both sides. I think that's where my perspective would come from. And from an educational perspective, we have something called restorative language in dealing with those who treat us in a way. So I, in my bullying experiences, have always tried to practice this restorative language in dealing with the people who have bullied me. I mean, this was all the fashion back in education about 15 years ago.
Really?
And it's coming back, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it comes back in cycles all the time. But restorative language and treating each other with appropriate levels of respect and reflective consideration is almost like it's not part of our culture anymore. And it's for those who are bullied and those who are also being trained not to be bullied, because they need that help too. They don't have that those role models to follow that restorative kind of behaviour. So my experiences of being bullied have been both as a child at school. I remember coming into a playground scenario, walking through the corridors at school. I just joined this new school, and someone had scrawled all over the wall at school, massive letters, Rosie Wall is a slag.
Oh, God.
I don't know. So that comes into the, you know, the relational aggression, the all the circumstantial, the sexual bullying there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you just deal with it as a child. I mean, now I wish I could go back and scribe underneath it. Well, this is the feminist issue, actually. Yes, let's open up a debate about how we behave. But then, of course, I was mortified, especially as I was very unattractive and dumpy, and no one was interested in me in that particular way at all. But that did deeply affect me. That was my first childhood experience on it. But then I've had workplace scenarios where I have it's been insidious and very slowly crept up on me. Mm-hmm. Over a period of time, that I realised that actually I was being targeted or monitored or watched in a certain way to be taken out.
Right.
Marginalised or dealt with. And obviously I realised through my restorative training that this the motivations behind that were insecurity and inadequacy and so forth. But you're in such a position, such a vulnerable position with so many stresses. It's an absolute quagmire of horror and discomfort.
Yeah.
So I know even as a child, it was utterly bewildering, didn't know which way to go, and now children today are dealing with cyberbullying, so it's even more horrific.
Yeah.
As an adult, I didn't know which way to turn either, because if it's in a work context, who can you turn to? Who can you trust? How can you manage those scenarios? Who will believe you? Who will believe whomever, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to find the right language in order to communicate it.
Yeah.
And in the personal context, which we find in relationships, I mean, throughout life, through all our relationships, we can reflect on the minutiae of what we call bullying. You know, the master-slave concept of who's in control 1 minute and who is happy to be, who's the master 1 minute and who's the slave the next. And this does alternate in all relationships. They are codependent in that way.
Yeah.
So I've had bullying in every aspect of my life, all through my life, for various reasons.
Yes.
And actually right now I'm so confident I take it as a compliment. How about you, Clara?
Sorry, I'm just going to apologise. If you're hearing some very strange noises on the radio programme, my small dog is somehow or other going nuts in the house. Chasing a plastic toy that I think my son has now taken off him. But periodically Wes goes nuts. And so anyway, he's had it removed. So yes, I find it really very, very interesting too. And I would say that similarly, and this is why I think it's so endemic, I have experienced bullying in my own when I was at primary school. By the time I entered secondary school, although I did get sort of taunted for being a bit hairy, you know, because I had.
Oh, darling, what do you mean?
Well, I had I have hairy legs. Or when I was a child, I had hairy legs, and I also had the base of my back actually has sort of fine down, and
Yes.
I would be called Hairy Clary, and And so anyway, but that was, you know, by that point, actually, because I had been really horribly treated by people who I had thought were friends of mine at primary school, in the last year of primary school, when it was discovered that I didn't have a father, I was pushed around and pushed into the toilets and pushed around the toilets and stuff by these girls who I had thought were my friends. And I, you know, I would cry and I would go home. And to top it all, because my mother was very ashamed that actually she was divorced. And so we'd always had to say that my father was dead rather than that she was divorced.
Oh, and, my gosh, Clara.
And so my mother, I remember coming and dragging me out of a sort of like end of primary, you know, junior school party that I'd gone to, because she had discovered that boys might be there. My mother was always a bit, you know, Victorian, to say the least. And so I was pulled.
Must have been bullied by our mothers as well.
Well, oh, indeed. My mother was quite terrifying. So anyway, she pulled.
That's actually critical, isn't it?
Yeah, she pulled me out of this party and absolutely screamed at me like a banshee for being a fishwife, you know, somebody who would scream about fish, but about actually having a father whom I had not met, being alive and actually letting her secret out. And so it's interesting. By the time I started at secondary school, I had developed defense mechanisms of a very, very loud laugh. And I swore like a trooper to keep people sort of at their distance from me. But it was interesting because actually then through my own work, you know, as a student nurse, there were appalling people in the National Health Service, in education, in further education or at my degrees. There were some terrible people when I trained, particularly in the health service, actually, nursing education, health visitor education. I came across some absolutely really screwed up, very, very, very nasty people. And
just to interrupt briefly there, the interesting thing is, and I put up a quote about this on my site the other day,
right.
And that is that people with the most danger attached to them often occupy positions of great power.
Jimmy Savile.
well, indeed, it's a complete abuse of that, isn't it?
Yep.
So I think that's important too, because obviously we live in a society that is governed from the top down.
Yeah.
You know, that sets the tone for the climate that we live in. And we still quote great despot leaders as having some kind of strength attached to them, when actually it should be, you know, something to be absolutely horrified about.
Yes, indeed.
So,
and there are so many people who have similar experiences. So, I mean, in my current work, I actually have had a number of school teachers, doctors, nurses, lawyers, accountants, people, very senior people in the financial sector, or very ordinary people, you know, who have been, and at the time that they came into coaching, were experiencing being bullied. And
isn't it? Because the world, as described, is a jungle in a sense.
Yeah.
It's your capacity to learn how to adapt and survive accordingly. But because everybody is adapting and trying to survive, they are using the kind of language with each other and behaviour with each other that is actually primal. It isn't evolutionary. It isn't moving in the right direction. It's moving in the wrong direction.
Well, it's very
we find a utopia where people are just kind to each other, that we nurture and try and support each other through whatever the circumstance. And if someone really annoys you, how can you manage to deal with them that is a kindly way of you know, getting the message across, as opposed to just being highly irritated or being, in fact, directly cruel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a change of a philosophy almost, a whole new belief system.
Yes. Well, it's a change of manners as well, isn't it, in a way, about the way that it is... well, the way that you will get the most effective response, really. Because what we know is if you just slam somebody down, all you will get is defense response and closing down. And in order to get people to be receptive to changing their ways, it's about actually, you know, it is about bringing them with you rather than just beating them over the head.
Can I read for you a list of things that I've done in relation to the research as to how people can cope?
Yes, oh, please do.
The first thing, I mean, this is gathered from all over the place, you know, so I can't specify it to one particular site, which would be appropriate, but in essence, I mean, it's stuff that we do in education as well.
Now, Rosie, before you, can I just ask if you'd go through one at a time, just in case you're not coming over very clearly from the phone, may I, if you go through one of, I will repeat what you're saying, okay?
Okay, all right. The first is recognize the type.
Recognize the type of bullying.
The second is develop a deeper sense of your own inner strength and understanding of yourself. So you've got a stronger base from which to work with.
So recognizing your own intrinsic value and worthwhileness, and that's what I would always work with people.
That's
it's about
them.
That's
where you do your most work.
Yes. No, but you ask work with people to actually have belief, self-belief in their own intrinsic value. That's incredibly important. They have each and every one of us have value. And are good enough. We might be able to improve. We can always improve, but we are good enough, right? Number three.
Report all bullying where and whenever it occurs.
Yes, report all bullying where and wherever it occurs. And actually, the other thing I would recommend is that for those people in the workplace is that they actually keep a journal of it. Because
yeah, that's a very good idea.
It's terribly important that they put a date, a time, they recount exactly what happened and who was around at the time. It's really very important that they do that. Carry on, Rosie.
Spread the word, which is obviously what you and I are doing today.
Spread the word about... And it's not. It's about the unacceptability of behaviour as well. I mean, I think,
yes.
You know, it's very important that, and particularly in work cultures, that actually those that are at the top actually lead and actually interact well enough with all of their employees that they are able to have that kind of relationship where people will be comfortable to say what is going on, and also that those senior people in organisations may well see it. Whilst they keep themselves up in their ivory towers, they see nothing. Carry on, Rosie.
The final two really are that the coping techniques of managing it on a day-to-day is that you must show minimal reaction, because part of the gratification of the bullier. And we'll deal with being a bully next week, won't we? Because we've both experienced that ourselves as well. We're not immune to that. But show minimal reaction, because that's what is needed. Your reaction is what is needed to be fed off.
Yep. So to show minimal reaction. And the last one?
Is to take it as a compliment.
Oh.
Because it may have nothing to do with you.
Oh, well, yes, indeed.
But also, it comes from a deep-rooted sense of inadequacy and insecurity and jealousy in relation to who you are.
Of the bullier.
There's a part of you that person deeply, deeply, and
Yes. Yes. So to take it as a compliment, because really what the behaviour of the bullier is symptomatising the fact that actually they are envious for or feel inadequate of your own abilities. And the other thing I would suggest, actually, is that because sometimes it's people feel very uncomfortable about offering a response that they have not offered, and yet they know what they would really want to say. Now, what I would suggest, and it works very well for many of my clients, is that they rehearse at home making a response, you know, a calm, you know, response of actually, you know, of how they wish to be treated, their, you know, their lack of interest, their, you know, invincibility to the bullier. And actually the moment that the bullied person actually changes their own response, actually that causes a difference for the bullier, because it sends out a signal that actually their behaviour is no longer going to be tolerated or taken. Because often it's not tolerated, it's just sort of accepted. There's a difference. And so I think there's an enormous importance in women being able to, or women, men, children, learning how they can respond to the bullier, and practicing it so that they're really, really comfortable. They think out what number of times they need to have said it in order for it to be easy, and then they have a range of responses, and so that when the time comes, when the moment comes, they can actually just say, "Please don't speak to me like that. I don't want to. You know, that's, you know, I don't accept being spoken to like that. Actually, I, you know, whatever it would be." Whatever would be their right response, they actually really do need to practice it. Rosie?
It's ultimately about learning it's about education. You have to be educated at the very earliest of days in your school life as to how to manage this, so for the rest of your life you have the tools.
Absolutely. And I think the moment that you've done it once with anybody, when you have responded in a way that makes you feel comfortable, you will be amazed at how your own courage just emerges, because you have courage. Every single person has the courage to respond in the way that they wish to respond. And so,
could you send with a very quick quote, Clara?
Yes.
We tend to accept. We accept the lives that we think we deserve. And Clara and
yes.
I would like to put to you that you need to start accepting higher levels of behaviour
yes.
From this day forth.
Yes, that your own value is immense, and that you have the right to be heard, to be able to express your view, and to voice it. So, we're about to be finishing, and so. So next week, either I will be at Rosie's or Rosie will be here, and we will not be needing to use this interesting method of communication. So we're going to sign off now, and next week we will be looking at maybe further into the inadequacies of those who bully, because I think that might give those who are bullied a greater sense of strength.
Absolutely. Right behind you, Clara.
So for now, we'd just like to say lots of love.
Lots of love, everyone.
Have a lovely week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Be strong and have courage. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, are you still there?
I am.